Third part of the sermon. I hope you guys are prepared and ready to hear what God has in store for us this afternoon. I mean, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "It was Christ who chose to give different gifts to his people. He chose some apostles, he chose some to speak from God, he chose some to tell God's good news to many people, he chose some to take care of his people like a shepherd and to teach them." Amen. So, as we're here on this beautiful day, even though it's raining, this beautiful day in August, August 1st, it's such a blessing to be here. God has specifically put you here on the Zoom line today, and I believe that he has sent us a wonderful shepherd here, Elder Dylan, to give us a powerful message. So without further ado, make some noise, shout, scream, use the chat box, reactions, whatever you can do, and make some noise as we welcome Elder Dylan. Woo!
Wow. What an introduction. Happy to see everyone here today in church. It's a blessing to see all of you guys. I really like the song that Jody was singing. The song was saying, "I don't want to fail in my mission." And, each of us has a mission that God has given us while we're here. So let's pray and believe that we won't fail. Amen. But yeah, I'm very excited to see all of you guys here. It's the first Sunday of a new month. It's a very exciting time, the first Sunday of a new month. There's a time that, God has a message for you for the month today. God has a message for you that he wants you to hear today. Jody just said there's a specific reason why God has you on this Zoom at 12:59 p.m. There's a specific reason why you are here right now. You could be on any church. You could have gone to an in-person service. You could be anywhere, but God has you right here today because he wants you to hear a specific message, and I believe that you'll be blessed. Amen. Let's just have a quick word of prayer as we begin today's service. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your message. Lord, it's a blessing. I pray, Father God, that you'll keep us, you'll guide us, you'll sustain us. Lord, I pray, God, that let me say one thing this afternoon that will bless someone, that will teach someone, that will encourage and stabilize someone, God. May we not leave this service the same. May we leave with a different understanding, a different knowledge, a different level of wisdom, God, because of today's message. Father, keep us, God. Guide us, protect us. Oh, Father God, I pray, Lord, for anyone who's believing you for an open door, for a change in their level. I pray, God, that because of their attendance to you, because of their closeness to you, God, that they will receive it. God, that anyone who is looking for God to increase their status, oh God, that you will do it for them, God. Anyone who is looking for you to show them a favor, for you to show them an open door in their life, God, I believe, God, that you will open it for them and that you will allow them to step through it and walk through it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. What a blessing. So yeah, very excited to see all of you guys here today. We've been learning in church the past couple Sundays. We've been learning about accusation. We've been learning about what does it mean to be an accuser and accusation. And, we've been talking about it for the past couple of Sundays. And I believe that, we're really gaining an understanding on the purpose of accusation. We're really learning, what accusation means to us. When we started this series, I myself was even wondering how this message will apply to us. Yeah, how this, because many of us haven't been accused practically to our faces. Yeah, so I was even wondering, but as we've been going through, I've also been blessed. I've also been learning that, accusation, or what accusation really means is like it's an internal thing. The purpose of accusation is to affect you internally. If we go through the message, if we go through the past couple Sundays preaching, so last week we talked about some of the laws of accusation. Yeah, we're talking about some of the laws of accusation. The first law we learned was the first law of accusation is that your relationships will be polluted with accusations. We learned the second law of accusation that we learned was that, you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Yeah, we will all be accused of the exact opposite of what we really are. And we've gained an understanding through this message or through this series that the devil is actually the person accusing you. That when somebody in your life is accusing you, when you have a friend, a family member, somebody close to you is accusing you, it is actually Satan using the person. Like the devil has employed the person. And I'll give you guys a sneak peek. I want to encourage everyone to join next week's message. Even though we are just starting today's message, I want to encourage everyone to join next week's message. The title of next week's message is The Employees of the Accuser. Yeah, that's the title of next week's message, The Employees of the Accuser. And I believe that we'll be blessed to learn about some of the people who can actually be employed by the accuser. If we turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, we learn there that the devil is the accuser of what? The brothers and the sisters. So when we are accused, it's straight from Satan. Yeah, nobody accuses us unless it comes directly from Satan himself. Wow. If you continue to go through the law, some of the different laws that we learned last week, you know, the first law is, the third law is accusations will not stop until you react wrongly. Yeah, we learned that, you know, like our reactions to accusations determine when they will stop. Yeah, last week I taught us that, you know, we must react and be calm. We must not respond to all accusations. Some accusations, we must learn to be silent with it. Amen. And then lastly, the motive for accusations is deeper than the issues presented. Yeah, when you're accused of something, the real motivation why you're being accused is deeper than what's being said. Amen. So the title of today's message, or the title of, you know, this is the third, I believe, the third week in this series. But the title of today's message is The Aims of the Accuser. The Aims of the Accuser. And, you know, as we go through the aims, some of the different aims or the different goals of the accuser, what you'll see is that accusation has a progression. Everything builds on itself. Like, things start at step one. Like, some of us, like, when we fall into sin, it's like, maybe, like, we have a sin, and then, like, step one is the guilty phase. And then maybe step two is, like, you separate yourself from God. And step three is, like, you begin to feel like, well, why not just keep doing it again and again? Yeah, it's like a progression. And as we go through the different aims, we will learn that, you know, accusation is a progression. And many things in life progress. Like, many things in life, they start in one place and gradually grow, gradually take one step to another place, gradually go to another place, little by little. Many times accusation isn't just something that happens once. Many times it happens, and then it's like something else will take place. Amen. So if we can show Revelation 12 verse 10 on the screen. Good to see everyone today in church. Good to see all of you guys here. Nice to see you again, Olivia. Nice to see you again, Rose. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of what? Our brothers and sisters.'" Yeah, the devil is the accuser. How many of us will know that the devil actually used to be in heaven? The devil actually used to, he was the praise and worship leader in heaven, mercy. But he was the praise and worship leader in heaven, and he was there. And the Bible says that he's the person who later fell. And he fell because of accusation. He fell because he was accusing people in heaven, mercy. So from his inception, he was an accuser. That's what the Bible defines him as well. He was the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accused them before God and night. Yeah, he accuses people before God day and night. So some people face accusations day and night. And because of that, the devil was hurled down. Amen. So I see the time has quickly spent, but we'll try to get through as many of the aims as possible. So the first aim of the accuser is what? Is to degrade yourself. Or the first aim of accusation is to degrade yourself. Accusations make you have a low self-esteem. Accusations make you have a low view of yourself. Yeah, when you are accused of something, it makes you to feel low. When somebody tells you that, oh, you'll never change, or you'll always be the same, oh, I know you did this, I know you did that. You know, when somebody accuses you of maybe you are selfish. Yeah, sometimes the accusations don't even have to do with your relationship with God. Somebody could accuse you that you're selfish, or you didn't care about the person. If you begin to feel lowly, like within yourself, you begin to feel like a bad person. You begin to feel judged. You begin to feel down. And the Bible tells us that in John 6:63, we can turn our Bibles there. The Bible tells us in John 6:63. I believe we're waiting for the verse. But yeah, when you are accused, when the verse comes up, we'll read it together. But when you are accused, the first aim, the first goal of an accusation is to degrade you. It is to bring you down. It is actually to make you fall. Yeah, it is actually to make you fall. And I want us today, as we go through the different aims, to pay attention to the progression. So phase one or step one is what? To degrade you or to make you feel low, to make you feel like you are a bad person. And that's why we must be careful of words. Yeah, accusations make you to lose some zeal. Accusations make you to lose a desire to keep the relationship you have with the person going. When somebody accuses you of being selfish again and again, at a point you want to separate yourself from the person. And the Bible says in John 6:63 that the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of what? Spirit and life. They are full of spirit and life. When somebody speaks words into you, be careful of the words that we hear. Yeah, be careful of the conversations that we have with people, because the Bible is telling us here right on all of our screens that the words I've spoken to you, they are full of what? Spirit and life. Spirit and life. People's words have power. Yeah, words have power. Conversations have power. There's some people we shouldn't converse with, or eventually it will get into us. There's some people who, when they say their words again and again, if you're not careful, it will get into you. There's some people who maybe are going through something, and the more you relate with them, the more you talk with them, it will eventually get in. It will eventually change your mind. It will eventually convince you otherwise. I was telling you guys, you know, I had a friend. This person is no longer my friend, but I had a friend who was always talking bad about our church, always saying, oh, you guys are always doing too much. You guys are always trying to do too much. It's like, First Love, you guys always want us to be busy. You guys, what is this? What, like, it's like, it's like their whole goal or their whole aim was to make fun of our church. I mean, and they'll laugh about things. Like, they'll laugh about ideas like Project 10. Or they'll laugh about why are they making us do this? And at a point, I realized I can't be friends with this person anymore. I can't, because if I'm not careful, their words, the way they feel, will begin to get into me. And that's why we must be careful the connections and the friendships that we have. Some people shouldn't have a voice in our life anymore. Some people who used to be in our life must be separated. Some friends we used to have, we shouldn't give them a door or access to us anymore. You know, a lot of us as Christians, even when we tell people, even like sometimes it's like, we know that this person is wrong for us. We know that this person is bad for us, but we'll tell them, oh, you can still contact me, or you can still be my friend, maybe just on a Christian basis. But no, I'm telling you today that if somebody is bad for you, if somebody is not good to have in your life, you should not relate with them on a Christian basis, on a so-called, oh, let's share our quiet times together. No, some people must be completely removed from your life, because that so-called Christian basis is a door to you. When you think about it, right, if we're being honest, when you think about it, a Christian basis or maybe spiritual help, when you have people who are bad friends, bad people, but they want to still be around in your life on a spiritual level, on a Christian level. Why would you allow somebody to only be around in your life on a Christian level? A Christian level, your Christianity is what's in your heart. Your spiritual level is what is in your heart. So you are giving someone access to your heart. When you allow somebody who you know is bad for you to continue to contact you on a spiritual level, you are giving them access to your heart. It is your heart that is actually being affected, that you are actually giving them access to. So why would you give them that type of access to you? If you have a bad friend, cut them off. Like, if you have a bad, there's nothing like, oh, we're just friends, but, you know, I want to go and bring them to church. No. If God has plans for them to go to church, he will make it happen for them. As God has plans for you to be here in church this afternoon, he also has plans for them to find a church. Somebody will invite them to a church, but it's not on you to go and find them. You must leave them. The Bible says, guard your heart, or because out of it flow the issues of life. We must really become serious about guarding our heart. Your heart is your most treasured possession. It's not your degree. It's not your job. It's not even your family. Your heart is your most treasured possession. The Bible says that God searches what? Our hearts to know us. God searches our hearts. He doesn't search our minds. He doesn't search our bodies. He doesn't search our intellect or our soul or our spirit. He says he searches our hearts. We must really protect this thing that we call our heart, and we must be careful with it, and we must not allow people to have a voice into what we call our hearts. Amen. So the first step or the first progression of accusation is simply what? To degrade you. degrading starts with your heart. When you are degraded, it is your heart that is truly affected. Amen. So the next aim, or the next maybe step in accusation, is to make you fall into sin. Wow, to make us fall into sin. So now that you are degraded, now that maybe you feel low, now that maybe you don't feel like a good person anymore, the next step is that you fall into sin. You make them, because you feel low, you fall into sin. Because you didn't guard your heart, you fall into sin. Because you didn't care about your well-being enough, now you fall, you make a mistake. You don't feel as strong. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, so as a man thinketh, so is he. I believe we have that verse. We can show it to everyone. You know, it's one thing for me to say a verse. It's another thing for you to read it on the screen yourself. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I believe we have that verse. Proverbs 23 says, yes, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart. Once again, where are we back at again? Back at our hearts. Mercy. We keep going back to our hearts. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart. So when you didn't protect your heart, when you allowed yourself to be degraded, when you allowed somebody that you shouldn't have had, that shouldn't have had access to you, gain access to you, now you begin to think in your heart, you are truly that thing. You are truly the thing you are being accused of. And the Bible is saying that for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is where you begin your thinking of. Any view you have of yourself begins in your heart. If you view yourself as a strong Christian, you must begin it in your heart. If you view yourself as a Christian, it must begin in your heart. Even if you view yourself as a nurse, it must begin in your heart. If you view yourself, if I view myself as a pastor, I must begin in my heart. It's not in my mind. It's not in the fact that on a Sunday afternoon I'm preaching. It's the fact that I must see myself that way in my heart. The Bible says that what you view yourself in your heart as is what you will become. Yeah. So when you fall into sin after you've been degraded, it's because you have allowed yourself to be affected. Something has entered into you. And now that you have fallen into sin, it's like you fall low, or you don't want to be around people. Or there's like an aura. Something changes about you. Now that you have fallen into sin, you know, many of us, when we fall into sin, what's the next step? I think many of us can even say it. The next step after falling into sin is what? You feel guilty. And the guilt doesn't leave. That's where the guilt is. It sticks around for a while. It's even after you've repented, the guilt is still there. It's still in the back of your mind. You can try and ignore it. You can try and maybe push it down. It's there. It sticks around. It won't go anywhere. What will make the guilt go is time. If I'm being honest with you, is time and prayer. Continue to pray on the thing. Continue to pray on the thing. You know, sin causes you to be far. It causes you to stay away from God. You know, some time ago, this was some time ago when I was in college, you know, I made a mistake and I fell into some sin. And I realized that, you know, immediately after I had fallen into this mistake, or I had made this mistake, you know, I realized that it was like I was still a Christian. I was still able to do my quiet time. I was still able to pray. I was still able to listen to messages. So I didn't feel affected too much by it. But gradually, as time went on, because I didn't deal with the sin, because I didn't deal with the problem that was there, I began to pull myself away from God. So now the quiet time stopped. The praying stopped. The listening to messages stopped. And see, once these things stop, once these habits stop, it's very difficult to redevelop these habits. It's very difficult to go back. It's hard. Me, I'm telling you maybe from experience. I'm sure some of us also have the experience. It's very difficult. If you're doing your quiet time consistently now, stay on it. Stay on it. Pray and believe God that you will stick with it. Because to stop and to go maybe 2 weeks, to go a month, to go one, and when I say a month, it shouldn't sound unrealistic. There are really people who unfortunately, or they are battling with something, and they can go a month, and it's like they haven't prayed. They can go a month, they haven't read their Bible. They can go a month, they haven't spent any alone time with God. To go 1 month and you haven't spent any alone time with God and begin again, it's like you're meeting a stranger for the first time. Yeah, it's like you're meeting a stranger again for the first time because you don't know what to say. You've lost a certain connection. You've lost some closeness with him. Mercy. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We want to turn our Bibles there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. you know, as you fall into sin, as you allow yourself in this second stage of accusation to fall into sin, there are some thoughts that come. Some thoughts come into our minds. Now that you are fallen into sin, some thoughts come. And you see, what we must realize is some thoughts we get are direct from the devil. There are some thoughts we have that are straight from, like it's nowhere from hell. And we must become experts at recognizing these thoughts. We must become experts at recognizing when a certain thought comes, this thing is not a correct thing to entertain. Yeah, some of us, we call it overthinking. But see, overthinking can lead you to a place where now you have some thoughts in mind that you shouldn't have. Where you have some thoughts like, oh, God doesn't want to hear from me. How many of us before have had the thought like, God doesn't want to hear from me? Why would God not want to hear from you? Yeah, when you have such a thought, you must recognize this one is directly from Satan. It's from Satan direct to keep you away from prayer, keep you away from speaking with him. And the Bible tells us here in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations. Yeah, casting down and every high thing that what exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like, you must bring into the thoughts we must have are things that are of Christ. Yeah, we mustn't allow the devil to come into our life and to impact us or to say things to us that we know like are not from God or we know are not correct. And then they begin to impact us. They begin to get into our heart. They begin to affect the decisions we take, the way we relate with people. We must become people who will not be impacted by such thoughts that come from the devil. We must be able to overcome them and do what? Bring them into captivity. Control them. Bring down your thoughts. Some thoughts we shouldn't entertain. I'm telling you this afternoon. Some thoughts we shouldn't entertain. We shouldn't entertain when we say that, oh, I feel so sinful. God doesn't want to hear from me. I know God doesn't want to hear me pray. I know God doesn't want me to have my quiet time. Or sometimes it's like you'll be thinking to yourself, how can I be going to church? Me, the kind of person I used to be, how can I be going to church? It's something from Satan. It's something from Satan directly. Any of us can take an opportunity or take a day to change. Yeah, Jesus Christ is in the change business. Salvation is a product of change. Yeah, salvation is a product of change. We are in the change business. So if you are taking a decision to change, don't allow the devil to keep you back. Amen. So the second stage, right? So now you see the progression. First, you are degraded. Once you are degraded and now your heart has been impacted, now you've opened the door to your heart. The second stage is what? To make you fall into sin. So now you've been degraded, you've fallen into sin. And then the third stage is what? To discourage and confuse you. So now you have fallen into sin, you've been degraded, and now what happens next is you will become discouraged. So once you've sinned, now it's like, I'm discouraged. I don't want to pray. I'm not spiritual enough to pray. I can't lead, you know, center or Bible study on Wednesday night. You know, some people, when we sin, it's like, we can't work for God anymore. I'm too sinful to go and lead a Bible study. I'm not mentally there. You can't tell me that you're not mentally there to lead a Bible study because you've sinned. Because the Bible tells us to bring down every thought. You must be there. Yeah, we mustn't allow those thoughts to affect us. You must be able to overcome them. That's what the Bible says, that the righteous man falls 7 times, but rises again. Rises again. The point is to rise again. It's not on the number of times you've fallen or the number of times you've made the same mistake again and again. It is the point is that you will rise again, that you will stand again. Yeah, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10, beautiful. It says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Yeah. Yeah. If you fall and you have no one to help you up, it's like who will help you? You are just going to stay down, and you can't stay down. You must be able to lift up yourself and rise again. And that's why it's important to have fellowship. Yeah, that's why, you know, I didn't plan on going into this, but that's why it's important to have a group. The point of a group is so that somebody can lift you. Yeah, the point of a group is somebody can lift you. Maybe it won't even be me, but somebody here should be able to lift you. That's the purpose of why we are here, is that we want to help you to be lifted. Yeah, we want to help you to be lifted. Amen. So yeah, the third stage is to discourage and confuse you. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 2. to discourage and accuse you. So now you've fallen into sin, or you've been disgraced, you've fallen into sin, and now you're confused and discouraged. Yeah, and now you are confused, and it's like you are discouraged. You don't know what to do. You are just there. Isaiah chapter 19, I believe the verse is coming. Verse 2, I will stir up Egyptian against thee. So this is the devil talking. The devil is making a prophecy. And this is what happens as you are going through the stages of accusation or the aims of the accuser. And the third one is you will be discouraged and be confused. The Bible says, I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. Brother will fight against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city against city. Kingdom against kingdom, like everyone will be in contention. You know, when we reach a place, say God forbid, but when we reach a place in our church where it's like we are clashing, or you see that it's like everyone is fighting, or it's like somebody has a problem with this person, no, that's a sign that the devil has entered us. Like something has changed here. Some problem has come here. Why are we fighting? Why are we butting heads? I can't even imagine it even as I'm saying it, but it's like, why are we fighting? Why are we butting heads? Because I can't imagine such a thing happening, but it's a sign that the devil has come. This is what the devil brings. He confuses things. Yeah, when you are confused, pray. Anytime you become confused, just pray. Anytime you become confused about a decision you have to take, you pray. The Bible says that what? I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian, brother against brother. Okay, verse 3. I believe we have verse 3. It says, yeah, the Egyptians will what? Lose heart or become what? Discouraged. Yeah, so as we are fighting, as we are confused, one of the main things that comes from confusion is you become discouraged. You become discouraged to continue. The Bible says that the Egyptians will lose heart, and I will bring their plans to nothing. They will consult the idols and the spirits of the dead, the mediums and the spiritists. Wow, yeah, it says that they will lose heart. When you are confused, you lose heart. Yeah, so now you've fallen into sin, you are discouraged, and you begin to lose heart. And many of us at this stage, we fall away, if we're being honest. And many of us at this stage, we fall away. We remove ourselves from the church. We remove ourselves from God. It's like I don't really want to do church. I don't really want to stay close with God. I don't really want to be around God. I just want to stay to myself in my corner. But you can't. You can't. You know, there's something to be said for acknowledging when you are down, but you know you will rise again. And we must all grow to that place where you can acknowledge that right now I may look discouraged, but I will rise again. And there's someone in the Bible like that. I believe it's Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. I believe it's Micah. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. You know, Micah was somebody who had fallen into some sin. He had made a mistake. And he was, and in the book, in the chapter here, he was preaching or writing about how, like, he's made the mistake, but he knows he will get up again. Yeah, it's actually a very beautiful way of wording it. Verse 8, yeah, it says, Micah 7, verse 8, he says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Yeah, though I have fallen, I will rise. We must know, this second line there, we must all have it in our heart, is that though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I've made the same mistake, maybe I sinned in March, I did this thing, this problem, I fell into it in March, now it's August 1st, I did it again. But you must know that what, you will be able to overcome it. Yeah, you will rise from it. Micah says, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Like right now, as I'm sitting in present day darkness, God will be my light. God can be your light in sin. Yeah, how many of us knew that? That God can be your light. And Micah was in the sin. If you read earlier verses in this chapter, Micah says that he is still in the sin. He's still in the problem, but he's saying God is his light. Yeah, God can be with you in sin. In sin, God is your light. Like it's like you acknowledge you've made a mistake. You've acknowledged that you're down and God is still with you. Verse 9. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my case. Let's read it again. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. Number 2, acknowledging that what? That he will be punished. He's acknowledging that he will be punished. This is a strong Christian. Yeah. For any of us who are wondering what a strong Christian picture looks like, this is it. A strong Christian isn't the perfect Christian. It's not even the person that's preaching. It's the person who acknowledges his closeness with God. Yeah, Micah says that even though I've sinned, I will bear the Lord's wrath. Like he knows God will punish him, right? That because he's made a mistake. And then he says, until he pleads my case and upholds my case, he will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Wow. Yeah, this is a strong Christian. He knows that he's made a mistake. He knows that God will have something to say on the mistake. Yeah, he knows God will have something to say. But then he says what? That until he pleads my case and upholds my case, he will bring me out into the light. Yeah, God is bringing you out into the light. Amen. And then verse 10. Then my enemies will see it and will be covered with shame. Wow. She who said to me, where is the Lord your God? So the accuser, the person who said, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her downfall. Wow. Even now, she will be trampled underfoot like mere in the streets. Wow. Amen. This is a strong Christian. Yeah. If somebody ever asks you, how do you define a strong Christian? You turn them to Micah 7:8-10. Those verses are how you define a strong Christian. So it's not necessarily the most prayerful, the most spiritual, the person who pays every tithe, person who gives every offering. It is the person who has the relationship with God. That's a strong Christian for you. Amen. So the next aim or the next stage of the accuser is it turns a friend into an enemy. As we close, I see that time is fast spent. It turns a friend into an enemy. Ecclesiastes 4:10. We have that verse back, Ecclesiastes 4:10. Ecclesiastes 4:10. The Bible says, if either of them falls down, one can help. So what accusation does after you've been discouraged and confused is it turns a friend into an enemy. So what it does is that it removes people who can help you to stand up. It removes people who can help you to be corrected. It removes people from your life who can help you to stay connected or stay close with God. That's what an accusation does. It removes people from your life. An accusation removes those from your life who will help you to stay connected, who will help you to stay close to God. That's what accusation does. And then the last final stage, as we close, the last and final stage or the last and final aim of the accuser is you yourself turn into an accuser. Wow. You yourself turn into an accuser. And, you know, defense makes you an accuser. Yeah. When you defend yourself, you become an accuser. That's why last week I taught us, don't always be in a rush to defend yourself. Don't always be in a rush to change. Don't always be in a rush to act on what the person is saying, because it makes you yourself become an accuser. You become an accuser as you try and defend yourself and argue and go back and forth and try and figure out a way and try and make, no. Just be calm, be cool, be stable. Yeah, the Bible says that who is a trustworthy friend that one can find? Yeah, a friend is important. A friend is important. So hold on to your friends. When they accuse you, when somebody in your life is coming into your life and trying to cause a stir or trying to accuse you of something, let's remember to stay calm, to stay silent, to stay steady, to stay cool. And when the person has done the thing again and again, when we realize the person is no longer good for us, like I taught us in the beginning of today's message, do not be in a rush to completely remove them. Don't allow people to have access into your life through your Christianity. Your Christianity of all things should not be a door into your life. That's actually the last thing that should be a door into your life is your faith. Your faith, because your faith is your heart. Yeah, your faith is simply your heart. That's all. Everything we're doing, we've all gathered on a Sunday afternoon. We've had a church service. Somebody has made backgrounds for us. We've played Dancing Stars video. Somebody has sung live for us. Everything we've just done for the past hour and a half is all based on our heart and faith. You have to love God to be here right now on this Zoom. And everything from that is coming from our heart. That is the last thing that we should be allowing people to have access to. Let's block off that door and that opening into our lives. And I believe that it would be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So let's take a few moments and pray for yourself wherever you are. We're just going to pray for ourselves for the next 3 minutes. We're going to pray for our hearts. We're going to pray that God will give us the wisdom to guard our hearts. God will give us the wisdom to see these stages of accusation. So just lift up your voice wherever you may be and pray for yourself. I believe we have the prayer soundtrack. You know, this is a personal time. This is probably the most spiritual time of the service. Lift up your voice wherever you are and just pray for your hearts. Father God, I lift up my voice, God. I come before you, God. I ask, oh God, that you will guide my heart, oh God. You will guide my heart. Basa kareba, basa kareba, basi kareba. Pray for God to guide your heart. Pray that God will help you to keep your faith.
pray that God will help you to keep your faith.
Masa kariba.
Basa kariba, basi kariba. Yes, God, help me to keep my faith. Lord, help me to keep my faith. Help me to keep my faith, oh Father God. I pray, Father God, masa kariba, masa kariba, masa kariba. Yes, Lord, help me to protect my heart. Lift up your voice wherever you may be. Ask God to help you to guard your heart. Guard your heart against the accuser. Guard your heart against people who want false access to you. Don't have good intentions for you. People who don't have the right plans for your heart. Just lift up your voice. Two more minutes. Basa kariba. Masi kariba. Basi kariba. Liba basi kariba. Basi kariba. Basi kariba. Malaba. 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 Yes, God. Guard my heart, oh God. Guard my heart, oh God. May we not be open. May my heart not have an open access to the enemy, oh God. To the accuser of the brethren. Yes, God. We are thankful. Oh, God. We are thankful to you, God. Thank you, God, for I know you've already done it. I know you've done it already, God. I know you've done it. I know you've done it already, God. I know you've already guarded my heart. You've already given me the wisdom to protect myself. You've already given me the wisdom to protect myself, oh, God. Oh, my sakariba, ba, la, ba, kariba, le, ba, ba, si, kariba, ba, si, kariba. Rababa, 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 kariba ma, kariba ma, kariba ma. Yes, God. Just lift up your voice. Continue to pray. Just one more minute. Pray for your heart. Pray that God will keep your heart. Yes, God. Guard my heart, oh God. Thank you for this wisdom. This wisdom on keeping my heart. This wisdom on keeping my heart, to God. Protecting myself, protecting my faith, oh God, guarding my faith, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for the faith. I thank you first for the faith, oh God, and I thank you for the protection, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. All eyes staying closed. If this is your first time in the church today, or maybe you wanted to reestablish your relationship with God, or you're not born again, you know, just repeat after me. If you want to come off of mute, you can as well. I believe one or two people should come off of mute and say this prayer along with me. All eyes staying closed. And let's all say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I want to experience your mercy today. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a savior, and I'm inviting you to live in my heart right now.
I admit I'm a sinner needing a savior, but you
come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Live in me as my Lord and personal savior from now on. I believe you are a God who is rich in mercy. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If that's your first time saying this prayer, you know, you can stick around today after service and we'll get an opportunity to meet you. Myself and some of the shepherds will have an opportunity to meet you, and I'll have a special gift for you. So if it's really your first time, or maybe you've said it before in our church, and we weren't able to give you the special gift, you know, please stick around so I can remember to give you your gift. And I believe it will be a blessing. Amen. 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 Amen.